We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you. The second half of the hour, we'll be talking a little bit about, we will be having the Jewish Hour's poet laureate, Michael Druck, will be making his appearance and sharing with us. And I understand that maybe there's a book in the making. I'm going to ask him about that, of course. Can't wait. The second half of the hour, also, we'll be talking about the portion of Pinchas, which is the book of Numbers, chapter 24. Really good Bible stuff there. We're doing a cappella music for the next 3 weeks, as this Sunday, June the 27th, for the next 3 weeks, are called The 3 Weeks. We commemorate the destruction of both temples during this time period. It is a time of quasi-mourning, which includes not listening to instrumental music, so we do some a cappella music. And that's that. And we have a wonderful story all the way at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Just a week and a half after Israel stopped requiring indoor masks, the health ministry announced it is requiring face masks in indoor public areas and large outdoor gatherings. The new mask mandate comes after hundreds of cases of the Indian variant were discovered in Israel. Israel is 80% vaccinated. In acts of anti-Semitism this week, a bullet was fired through the window of an empty synagogue in the Midwood section of Brooklyn. The New York Police Department Hate Crimes Division is investigating. Canada's leading labor union secretly passed a resolution to boycott Israel. Belgium will no longer provide security for its Jewish institutions. The government has provided soldiers outside synagogues and other Jewish institutions since 2014, following the shooting at the Jewish Museum in Brussels. The government said its services are no longer required. The Jewish community is appealing this action. And finally, Honduras dedicated its new embassy in Jerusalem, becoming the fourth country to open an embassy in Israel's capital. The others, of course, are the United States, Kosovo, and Guatemala. And that's the news. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have now, for your listening pleasure, it's an a cappella version of Cherubim, which is also known as the Whistle Song by Eighth Day, and this is AKA a cappella. Why did I get it?
של תורה כאילו בנעלם מי שהוא עושה קידוש השם השכינה שורה בעולם זהיר באמת כאילו מקיים יסודו של עולם. השכינה שורה בעולם, מי ששומר שבת ויום טוב מביא ישוב אמיתי לעולם, ומי שמעביר על מידותיו מביא חיזוק לעולם.
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. And we get a lot of books sent to us from a lot of publishers. And we talk about many of them. We have many guests and whatnot. And I really wanted to approach the Koren people about getting somebody who could talk about all three of these books that they sent me. But they said they're different imprimaturs, and therefore there were different publicists, and I would need to arrange three different interviews. But they're so interconnected one with the other that it really would have been just proper for have one interview. And these are really great books. Again, they're all from Koren Publishers. Let's see, this is Koren. This one is Magid Press. And this one is Koren. Okay. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the Koren Tanakh of the Land of Israel, the Book of Samuel, The Making of the Monarchy. This is a tome. Every library should have this, and if they turn it into a set, this is only the second volume. The other volume they had, I think, was I didn't get it, I didn't see it, was Numbers and Deuteronomy, or just Numbers or just Deuteronomy, and it is absolutely fantastic. Okay, so what is this deal? It is the first work of its kind in English to fuse contemporary 21st biblical scholarship with traditional Jewish perspectives. Stunning visual displays and an elegant, easy-to-use language, the Koren Tanakh of the Land of Israel features a wealth of scholarly insights that help readers understand the Tanakh, that's the Bible, and its historical context, as well as Koren's New English Translation, excerpted from the Magerman edition of the Koren Tanakh. Which the translation's okay. It's a good translation. It's a good, solid translation. But they have, like, every time they mention anything, first of all, there's a biblical map of Israel. Because when you're talking about like the book of Samuel, and you're talking about he went from this place and he went to that place, and you'd have what's where? It's like I always say when you mention one of these cities, it's many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. So but it's here, and it is an amazing thing, especially if one was to actually go to Israel and sort of like have this in your head, and you could say, whoa, that's this place, and this is that place, and that's that place. And then it has a comparable timeline, because what was going on in Israel and in Mesopotamia and in Egypt and in Rome, which in Rome there was nothing going on then. There's a bunch of monkeys swinging from the trees, you'll excuse me. And there's all kinds of wonderful places. First of all, it's printed on a high-gloss paper, like a coffee table book. This takes up a lot of room on a shelf and has various pictures from museums around the world, which show pictures pictures of statues and things that were found in archaeological digs, and pictures of the actual digs themselves. It's I cannot say enough about this. And it even has, if it mentions like an animal, so it has a picture of the animal. This is a really great work. It has a picture of King David, although I'm not sure if that's really King David or not. I don't think he's actually posed. This one's actually painted by Gerard van Hornthirst in 1622. So they got somebody to just look Davidic, I suppose that's what the model was told. This is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. I cannot praise it enough. And again, so this is the Koran Tanakh of the land of Israel, the book of Samuel. I'm looking to see if there's a price on the jacket. There is no price on the jacket. And you can check it out at the Koren Pub, korenpub.com. website. Oh, it's $62.95. Yes, it's worth it, believe me. The next one will go in order as it appears in Tanakh. This one is very good. I give this one 4 stars, not 5. It is an illustrated Psalms, also known as Tehillim. Also, again, Koren Publishing. The pictures are, it's the Tehillim is 150 chapters. And this has not all, but many of the chapters have some sort of a painting by famed acrylic painter Baruch Nachshon, who does these absolutely wonderful, wild, magnificent paintings in bright, vibrant, vivid colors. And each plate sort of like discusses, or if you read the chapter of the Psalms, it would be appropriate. You can understand how the picture fits to it. It is a terrific piece. Again, it's the Koran translation, which is a very, very good translation of the Bible. The one place where it lost stars is the size. They made it the size of, for those people who normally say Tehillim on a regular basis, and they can carry a Tehillim around with them. It has a little bookmark to keep where you are too, and thus making it too small. The Hebrew is very, very small. I would not say Tehillim from this book, but I would look at the pictures. It's definitely worth buying for the pictures. This is $14.95. You can go to korenpub.com, korenpub.com. And this one gets 4, let's give it 4.5 stars, just because they didn't. And I actually complained and said, could you make a larger version of this so I can actually read it? And they said, we'll look into it. So they're good to it. The last one is appropriate for the times. It is a new adaptation of the Book of Lamentations. This is also known as Echa, written by the prophet Jeremiah when he discovered that the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The insights into this. This is the Maggid studies in Tanakh. They've come up with, I don't know how many volumes of the Bible, but they will have the whole entire Bible. I'm not so sure if the Koran Tanakh of the land of Israel will have the whole entire Bible. That's a lot of work. And if you're talking 24 books of the Bible, so 24 times 62 is, you're talking close to $3,000 for a set of Bible, but it would be definitely worth it, let me tell you. So this one is Lamentations, Faith in a Turbulent World, and it's the commentator is Yael Ziegler, and she's done other stuff, and I've come across other works of her. She is a brilliant, erudite scholar. And just from the inside cover, how do people progress from despair to hope? Because that's what the Book of Lamentations is all about. Lamentations is all about lamenting. He saw that the temple had been destroyed. If you know the story, God told him to go to a certain place, Jeremiah, because he didn't want Jeremiah to witness the destruction proper, sent him on a wild goose chase, didn't find any wild geese, and came back and saw that Jerusalem had been destroyed, realized that he had been sent by the Almighty on a wild goose chase, and sat down and wrote the Book of Lamentations, which we read on Tisha B'Av, which is coming up in 3 weeks, which commemorates the destruction of both temples. So how do we deal with that? What is the nature of Israel's culpability, and what that means the Jewish people, and what degree does sinfulness factor in Israel's calamities? What is the nation's relationship to its land, to Jerusalem, and the outside world? Artfully combined tradition and academic scholarship, Dr. Yael Ziegler weaves together close readings of the Book of Lamentations with an integrated reading of each chapter and examine of larger themes. To the reader's surprise, Lamentation emerges as a coherent discourse on the way that a people, as individual and as nations, contend with adversity. Independent essays at the beginning and end of the book, as well as an appendices at the conclusion of the chapter, cover topics such as Eicha's historic background, poetic techniques, theological structure, linguistic and thematic connections to other biblical works, making it most scholarly reading, most notably the chapters of consolation in Isaiah. Wide-ranging biblical and religious themes emerge, a veritable journey through the Bible's most profound questions. Interweaving carefully literary analysis with intention of religious themes, Lamentations, Faith in a Turbulent World illustrates that Eicha is a testimony to the resilience of faith, which allows people to persevere through adversity and merge with a more meaningful relationship with God, with their nation, and with themselves. And this is Maggid Press. And this is $37.95, and you can see this one at Maggid Books, MaggidBooks, maggidbooks.com. I gave you the Canadian price. It's $29.95. Let me just make sure I didn't give you the wrong prices. Yes, no, I gave you the right price on the Tehillim is $14.95, and the Land of Israel. I did give you the wrong price. It's not the Canadian price I gave you. It's $49.95 for the book, which makes it a bargain at only $2,500 for the whole set if they do the whole set. But this, just getting to Samuel is worth it. That's a real 5-star. We give for the Tehillim 4.5 stars, and we give 5 stars to the Lamentations, Maggid Books. And that's our insights into those books today. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We're still trying to get Shalom Bear Lipsker from Surfside, Florida, the site of the tragedy, calamity this week, of the building falling down. And as you could imagine, he is very busy. So we're going to keep trying. So in the meantime, let's listen to a song. We announced a song before, and the song actually that we played before was called Bonai by Nachi Krohn. This now is Cherry Bim, the whistle song by AKA Pella Acapella.
Can you blow that whistle? You say cheery whistle, I say bum. We're gonna show you how to do it and we'll have some fun. Cause one's just one, but together we're number one. Can you blow that whistle? You say whistle, we say bum, bum, bum.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hey, Schulfman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online The Jewish Hour's own poet laureate, Michael Druck. It's been, I don't know how many years. We're on air 26 years. And I think, Michael, you've been doing this maybe for 24. I don't know if you can remember far back. So, first of all, how are you?
Thank God I'm fine.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Has it been like 24 years that we're doing this?
I think it's 25. I'm not quite
25.
Sure.
Okay. You were just a little kid back then.
Much older kid now.
Fair enough. Okay, so we have you on we have you on in order to illuminate our hearts with some of your most recent poetry, whatever. So maybe you pulled out something from the archives. So have you got a few poems for us today, Michael?
Yes, I have a brand new one that was written yesterday,
fresh.
And I'm putting together a book. On the an e-book, and we're doing some other things with my poetry, and we're going to be moving quickly along. I have a publisher now, and we're looking forward.
Oh, wonderful. I want it. How do you autograph a copy of an e-book, though?
You're going to be the first one to get one.
Okay. Thank you. I autograph copy, please. Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. We do not celebrate with the nation. We celebrate with God. We celebrate only his Torah and to his highest regard. And the world he designed was designed for learning and the value of a mitzvah. We will not be compensated by their smiles or their nods. We will be consumed by Torah and the lessons of God. We will not celebrate with the morals of a nation. We will reach for high ideals and Torah's foundation. In a world built for his admiration.
Wonderful. I'm reminded of actually the first paragraph of the Code of Jewish Law, the Shulchan Aruch, that says, "Al misbayish mipnei hamaligim," don't be embarrassed by the people who laugh at you, and rather, we've got a job that says, rather be courageous like a leopard. That leopards aren't really very big, but they kind of like hide out in trees and jump on their prey and then take them down that way. So,
is that the first part of that Shulchan Aruch?
That's the first paragraph of the Code of Jewish Law. Yep. It doesn't say anything about how they jump down off the trees, but it says be courageous as a leopard and be as strong as a lion, as light as an eagle, as swift as a deer. Some people translate it gazelle. Okay, deer, deer, gazelle, whatever, in order to serve the will of the Almighty. And then it goes into, you know, not being embarrassed by people doing it. We should be very, very proud of our Judaism and do things in a way that makes the Almighty proud is basically what our thing is. And we're not looking for people's approval. It's a spot on poem there. And it's very, very appropriate for the 3 weeks when people are in a state of quasi mourning over the destruction of the temple. And especially the second temple, which we say will only be rebuilt when people really get their acts together again. And correct the sinas chinam, the unwarranted, unbridled hatred that was going on back then, 2,000 years ago. And that's basically our job now, is to love another person as ourselves. So that was very impressive. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have another one. You have another poem,
yes.
Michael?
Yes. This is composed on June 6th, 2021. Since I'm putting this book together, the person who is publishing the book said, "Well, you have a lot of old poems. We've got to keep going. I need new poems, too." So here's another one. This is from June 6, 2021. It's called Maharal. Climb above the sky to a heavenly spirit and asking why that Torah sent thee. At last, at your commands, its words of God to the Jew and man, an honor given at our birth, the heavenly gifts for all its worth. Content yourself at your resolve absorbing Torah and having solved that mystery of God and knowing that Torah sent thee. Climb away from the fly from that spirit asking why. You separate yourself to explore Torah and that opened door. Soar, and never know why Torah sent thee. Mahara, we only have great things to pay attention to.
Okay, so when we say Maharal, I'm assuming this is referring to the Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Leib of Prague,
yes, Maharal,
who was actually, just the fact that he lived from 1500 to 1598, that people, he was 98 years old during the 1500s, is an amazing thing in and of itself. But he's he was a scholar before anything else, and I have a 15-volume compendium of his works sitting on my shelf, which is on my bucket list. So, but what's the impetus behind writing about the Maharal? Are you learning the Maharal's writings, Michael Druck?
I am delving into that. Amongst other writings, I'm now learning with 24 different rabbis. I'm also not only learning, but I'm teaching. We are busy all the time.
That's great.
Having just reached my 79th birthday, I don't have time for anything else but Torah.
There you go.
And the mitzvahs that go along with it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay, so now you're writing a book. Now, my question was, it's probably this is the opposite of your publisher. I think you told me, like, last time you have more than 15,000 poems existent over the course of the how many years you're writing poems? Is that a correct number? Or is it even more?
My first published poem was in 1955 in a publication called the Monroe Gazette in Monroe, New York. In Monroe, New York, in 1955, when I wrote my first poem, there were very few Jewish families there, if any. Now there are literally thousands of Jewish families in the same town.
Right. You cleared out the area, made it possible for Jews to live in Monroe, New York, yes.
That's right.
So what do you need new poems for to go into a book? You've got all these, I'm sure every poem, like I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite poem, and what are you going to answer me? ..
My favorite poem is something called The Measure of Success. I have read it on Friday night, Kiddush. I have not read it over the internet yet because it's very difficult. It's a 5-character play poem.
And that would be tough, okay.
It's tough because sometimes I forget what voice I'm using for myself. What voice I'm using for what entity. And there are 5 characters in it. It has a Jewish nature to it. And one of these days, I will attempt it on your radio program when I have the guts. Hopefully, most of the time, it works. Sometimes, and just ask people who know me, it doesn't because I get lost in the voices. And, you know, have to move here to do this character, move here to do this character. And there are 5 different characters and 5 different voices, including Michael Druck and someone else who you know.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, I'm gonna hold you to that one, Michael, and we'll be looking forward to. I just did a review of many books that came out, and look forward to reviewing the collected poetry of Michael Druck. And we wish you continued success.
Thank you very much. Be well, and look forward to hearing your wonderful sermons, which I attend quite often. Love them.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman, here you're listening to The Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Pinchas. It can be found in the Book of Numbers, chapter 24, and following. The first half of the portion deals with the aftermath of the end of the portion of Balak. Bilam could not curse the Jewish people, tried as much as he tried, and offer as many sacrifices as he offered, and tried to do as many end runs around God, which is kind of really tough since God is infinite, that to run an end round around infinity is kind of really tough, and said, if you want to get the Jews, this is what you got to do. Send out your daughters, dress to the nines, and entice, you could use the word seduce, the young Jewish men to worship idols. And then their God will take care of the rest. Now, the Midianites and Moabites had a very unusual God. This God is called Baal Peor. Baal Peor means to go to the bathroom. And what the way that this worked is that the people would go and they would stand in front of this idol and they would defecate. And that was like a service. So you have these beautiful women standing around and saying, hey, would you like to come and go to the bathroom on my idol? Now, for the normal person, going to the bathroom on an idol is like the ultimate in like saying desecrating an object. So they'd say, oh, absolutely. And they would, and then they would die. And a lot of people died. A lot of young men got enticed. Zimri, the prince of Zimri ben Salu, the prince of the tribe of Shimon, came to Moses with Cozbi Bastsur, the princess of Moab, and said, I want to marry her. And Moses said, she's not Jewish, you can't marry her. And Zimri said to Moses, you married a Midianite woman. And he said, that was before the giving of the Torah, and she has converted. You cannot marry her. She's a Midianite. And he said, oh, yeah, watch. And he went and he had relations with her in the middle of the camp, right in front of everybody, out in public. This is like, are you kidding me? Pinchas, who was Aaron's grandson, stood up and said, why doesn't anybody do anything about this? So Moses said, well, what are you supposed to do? So Pinchas said, you taught us that if anybody desecrates God's name in public, they have to be killed immediately. So Moses said, if that's what you remember learning, you go do it. And he took a spear, a javelin, and threw it and impaled both of them in mid-act. Now people started complaining. Pinchas was known as a bully, a hothead, a ruffian, a juvenile delinquent. And they were saying, look what this ruffian, this thug, did to a prince of Israel. Comes along the Almighty. It's really good to have the Almighty on your side. The beginning of the portion. And says, Pinchas was jealous for my jealousy. Meaning, if Pinchas wouldn't have done what he did, I would have done it, but I would have done it much worse. What did we learn from this? I'm going to focus in on that specific statement. What do we learn from this? We learn that sometimes, like Michael, what we're learning with Michael Druck, and which will be indicated in the story that we're going to close out with, that sometimes you have to stand up. If you see something that's happening that's wrong, you have to take up. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a vigilante. I'm not saying you have to go and kill people. No, you can't do that. In this country, the only time you're allowed to kill somebody like that is if they're planning on killing you. We don't do vigilantism and that of that sort. But let's take it down a little bit. Let's say that you see there's something good that needs to be done, and no one is doing it. And you're thinking to yourself, who am I? Where am I? What am I? I'm not getting paid for this. It's not my job. That's exactly the point. If you are aware of something good that needs to get done, there's a reason why. Because I, for example, don't know that it needs to get done. It wasn't pointed out to me. But the fact that it was pointed out to you, and you know what to do, indicates that what should you do? Forget about whatever protocols you think you have to go through. Forget about whatever, you know, if you need to get your picture in the paper or not, forget about it. If there's something good that needs to be done, stand up and do it. Be jealous for God. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herr Schulfinman, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Shalom Ber Lipsker, who is the Chabad representative of Surfside Bal Harbor, the place where the horrible tragedy occurred this week. The building fell down, and we appreciate the couple of minutes that you'd be able to spend with us. So how far away do you personally live from?
How far away? It's right in our neighborhood.
Yeah, how far away do you live?
Nashville is 2 minutes away.
2 minutes away. Did you, at 1:30 in the morning on Thursday night, did you hear this thing happen?
Pardon?
Did you hear it happen? Were you close enough that you actually heard this? I heard it made a horrible noise, like a bomb going off.
No, I did not hear it happening. It happened at 1:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so describe how did you find out about it, and what did you immediately do when you found out about it?
Well, my granddaughter actually called me, texted me at about 2:30 or 3 in the morning. I knew what happened in Surfside. I said, no, I did not. Not aware of anything. So, under those circumstances, what happened was that began this Gehenna.
Right, indeed. So now, first of all, before doing anything else, I'll give you, not that you're asking my advice, but your secretary deserves accommodation and accolades and a trip to any place in the world that she wants to, because I spoke to her for like 2 minutes this morning. And I could see the work that she is doing is just incredible. All the things that she told me that she had to do, and instead of talking to me. But so tell us what's going on. What are people doing down in Surfside as a result of this catastrophe, Shalom Ber Lipsker?
A lot of volunteers. Everybody's here. Chotzola's here. Medical professionals are here. You know, search and rescue teams are here. Obviously, the news, the world news systems are here. So, you know, all of that is here. And family gathered in different places. Some hotels had no place to live. There's people in the center waiting for news because their parents were not yet discovered. Our people would not get discovered. Most people would not get discovered. It's been very difficult going through. It's been very difficult going through the process because of adjoining buildings that are somewhat in danger. And the building itself is unstable and there's fires. So there's a lot of situations. And they have to work underground, under the building. The building, it's a 13-story building collapsed into one floor. So you can imagine the density of the collapse. So most people are not yet accounted for.
Indeed, and our hearts
so
are...
So that's the circumstances.
Our hearts and our prayers go out with them. To the families, and we hope for the best. And at this point, I think it's like we need 99 miracles, and that's what we're hoping for. So, Chabad,
actually, there's more. The numbers have increased of the missing people.
Where are we up to now?
As of this morning.
So, what are the numbers now?
It's uncertain, but it's considerably more than 99.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so what Chabad always tries to put like some kind of a let's get up and roll up our sleeves and do stuff. So what is the shul doing in response to this tragedy, Shalom?
Well, we're like a center point for everything that's going on. There's right down the shul, there may be must be at least 100 volunteers sorting blankets, clothing, ovens, food. You know, we had massive deliveries and put outs. You know, people are
They left their homes without insulin, without medications, etc. So the show's been literally a center point of activity for these matters.
Okay.
Everything is going on.
Now, from what I understand, the Surfside community is pretty close-knit. Did you know many of the, or some of the people living in that building, personally?
Yes. Yes.
So, and you're familiar with their family. So what have you spoken with their families, and what's going on with their families that were...
You know, China is, these times, it's a twilight zone. Very dismal reality out there. However, natural order.
Okay.
That's basically it. The only thing that you can do is add in acts of goodness and kindness and learning. Whoever said, start a charitable act wherever you are, in whatever circumstance. Just bring more light into the world, because it's pretty dark out there.
Indeed. I understand that money is being raised, and people who are listening to us, do you have some sort of a website set up?
There's quite a bit of money raised. That money is in a fund. And right now, the expenditures are minimal, no hotels and stuff like that, but I'm sure that as the next few days come on and people need a place to live more permanently, there's going to be expenses. People are going to have to travel here, unfortunately, for hopefully for good news, but also for not such good news. And they have to come from different countries. There's a lot of people from different countries around the world, which, it's very, to bring them here. Keep them here. This is, siblings, spouses, parents, children, lost people are missing.
Okay. Well, how do people, what would be the website for people to give donations, John Berlowsker?
Raven?
What would be the website where people can contribute?
I think you can go to shul.org, and then there's a chesed site. There are a number of sites, two sites, I think. Both of them are directed only for this purpose. One is a GoFundMe site, and one is a Chesed site, Chesed organization.
Okay, and that would be theshul.org, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our website, and there you'll have a link that will take you right to the place. And, there's... 100% of the dollars, no
overhead.
Money taken
is
out
all going for the cause, indeed.
All 100% of the money is going to whatever is necessary. Again, you're not sure yet what is necessary, but at least we'll have some money to be able to address it when the time comes.
Okay.
Even now, again, there's little expenses, but still expenses. Like hotels, we get a lot of them with that for free. But that's just very temporary.
Understood. Okay. Are people talking prognosis, like making predictions, thinking, well, this is going to be what's going to be?
There's nothing to predict here. Nothing to predict. They have this, as I said, the Derech HaTeva, and the natural process is not.
We need miracles.
Yes, you need miracles.
Okay.
We live by miracles. That's our
Okay. Okay, we're Shalom Berlipsker from Surfside, the rabbi who's coordinating the rescue. And we want to thank you so much. We should hear good news, and we'll keep in touch. So take care. Okay, that was Shalom Berlipsker. We talked about what's going on down there. we're closing up. It's time for this story. And this story, involves the father of Naftali Ropshitz, who is known as Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Liska. So he would put you back beginning of the 1800s is when he's going on. This is really a paradigm shift. It's really hard for me to suddenly tell the story. But we have to tell the story, and then we're done. So he would append his name. He would sign his name. He would sign it, Menachem Mendel, and then he would sign Ohev Yisrael, the lover of Jews. One day he was writing a letter, and he wrote his name. And when he was about to start the letter Aleph, for the expression, the lover of Jews, his pen fell out of his hand. He said, that's strange. And then he tried it again, and it did again. And he tried to think, it must be that I'm not a lover of Jews. I'm not a lover of other people. And he looked and he tried to figure out something. Did he slight somebody? Did he embarrass somebody? Did he do something wrong? He couldn't figure anything out. So then he asked the people in his household if there was anything unusual that had happened, which maybe some other Jew had been slighted. And they said, no, well, there's this one guy who came. He was like a bum. Showed up and we wanted to talk to you. We told him, get lost. He said, go find him immediately. Okay. And they looked, and they were searching, who is this person? He looks like such and such. He's wearing such and such. He's wearing peasant clothes, and he was a very coarse demeanor. And they found him in a house of ill repute. I guess in the city of Liska, they had such a thing. And they told him, the Rebbe wants to see you. And he said, I'm not interested in seeing the Rebbe now. I wanted to see him this morning. I don't want to see him. They bodily picked him up and carried him. The Rebbe wants to see you. You're going to see the Rebbe. And he was protesting. He was cursing. And he was like, I don't want to see this person. And when he was brought into the Rebbe's office, the Rebbe smiled at him, asked him to sit down, told the members of his household, please bring this man, our guest, some vodka and some cake. And he talked with him. And he spent a long time with him. At the end of the discussion, this man said, Rabbi, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to follow a correct path now. And I believe he stuck around and hung around, became a follower of Naftali of Ropshitz. We do not have the man's name because obviously we don't want to talk about somebody's ancestors having been found in a house of ill repute. But his family said, why is it that you spent so much time with this man? And this is where this relates to the time period now. He said, look at the prophet of Isaiah. The prophet, there's a verse in Isaiah that says, let's see if I can find it, they shall bring your brethren from among all the nations as an offering to God upon horses and chariots, etc., to my holy mountain, to Jerusalem. So it says, who's the they? The they are the non-Jewish nations, the nations of the world. And this is talking about after the Messiah comes, after Mashiach comes. So when Mashiach comes, like people who are in the know are going to be jumping up and down. They're going to be running. And then you're going to have other people who, when you tell them that they're, you know, this is a proper thing, they're going to come by themselves. So who are the ones who are not going to participate when Mashiach comes? The people who are too busy doing things wrong. And what's going to happen? People representing the nations of the world are going to look at him and say, hey, you're Jewish. You don't belong here. You belong in Jerusalem with the rest of your people building the temple and doing all those things like that. And he said, this person represented such a thing. He was one of those people. And why wait till Mashiach comes? That's going to do it for the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had time to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We are closing with the strains of Kel Mali Rachamim, which is said in honor of those who have passed away. And this is we'll just leave with the strains and wish you a good week. Take care.